Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
You might want to even lean in a little closer to the radio to catch some of the finer points of the things we'll talk about, because quite an unusual concept to develop today. The idea that aims to help Christian believers understand the way that we deal with an increasingly detached society who is sometimes suspicious of or even hostile to our Christian faith. Well, the concept we'll talk about today brings to life the idea that there's something like a transitional space between the carrier of the Christian gospel and those who are in some ways disconnected from the church, disconnected from Christian faith. It's called the third space. We'll talk about the third space today, and no doubt there'll be a lot of insights that our guest will bring. But the third space, in what I can ascertain, is something along the lines of what comes between two alternatives, a transitional space, a little bit like trying to find a work and family life balance, or the transition between a soldier returning from a war zone and finding his place again as a civilian or as a husband and a father. There's something about identifying a space between different environments where you can discuss, engage, where you can answer, where you can ask questions safely. Well, City Bible Forum, we know it as a magnificent organization, has expressions in all of our capital cities all around Australia. They are great at creating these sorts of spaces and opportunities, especially in the workplace, to talk about the big issues that people really care about. And there's a new player on the City Bible Forum team in Sydney. He comes all the way from Scotland in the UK. His name is David Robertson. He's the director of Third Space Ministries and is to be based in Sydney. It's going to be a 21st century evangelism project with the goal of teaching Christian believers how to engage more creatively and more effectively in their communities. Now, David is a prolific blogger. He has a blog called The We Flee. He's an author, an apologist, and a former Presbyterian minister at St. Peter's Free Church in Dundee in Scotland. And let me make a special welcome to you, David Robertson. Welcome to 2020.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here, and it's a joy to be in Sydney as well. In fact, it's been a joy to be, I've been already in all the Australian cities apart from Perth, and I hope to remedy that soon as well, because my remit is to cover the whole of Australia.
Wonderful.
Some remit.
Well, that remit is happening today because there'll be listeners all around Australia, and shortly we'll open our talkback lines. There might be listeners who'd like to interact with you, because as City Bible Forum has these bases in all the capital cities, undoubtedly there'll be people who can connect with the sorts of things that you're doing. David, now just let me get context right here, and I'm not so familiar, but you've only just really arrived in Australia, haven't you? Is this this is like your first week or two here?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's not the first week. I came in July,
okay.
And I've been here for a couple of months. I had to go back to do a Bible conference in Shetland, of all places, a couple of weeks ago. So I'm just recovered from the jet lag again. But yeah, we've just arrived. We've just got it set up. We're actually formally launching Third Space this coming Friday in Sydney.
That's significant, and we'll mention this a few times through our conversation, the formal launch this coming Friday of this new ministry, which is like a new dimension for City Bible Forum, called the Third Space. And so this is going to bring a different sort of a dimension to the sorts of things that City Bible Forum's worked with before. So give us a little impression about what Third Space is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very impressed with City Bible Forum, actually, because their focus, as I think many of your listeners will know, has been reaching city workers. And so I'm sitting in their office just now, and they've just had a meeting in one of the boardrooms. There's a legal group I go to every Thursday, and they do that in different cities. But they realized, I had a conversation with them last year, that they had resources and experience that could be maybe used to reach other people. And how you described the third space was a pretty good way of describing it. Because I tell you what it is, it's, and your listeners will, I hope, appreciate this. We live in a world where, if you like, one space is the culture in which we kind of swim, and all of us swim in it, no matter who we are. And then another space, if you like, is the church. And I don't particularly mean by that the building. I mean just the people, that, you know, as it is biblically. And then we have a job as the church to communicate Christ to the whole of the culture, and particularly in evangelism. But in a post-Christian society, in an increasingly secular society, and in some cases an increasingly hostile society, how do we do that? And so this idea of I've done a lot of cafe evangelism, there's different types of outreach that can be done. So we're really trying to help churches, because I think the church is the primary means for reaching out. Trying to help churches reach out into, we would call it a third space, because what we mean is places that you can meet with, or groups that you can meet with, where non-Christians don't feel threatened, where they're open, where you can have discussion, and where you can communicate Christ to them. So that's the idea.
I guess in Australia we might say finding some neutral turf on which two sides can meet and everyone feels comfortable in the conversation. So this idea that, you know, we're Christians and we have our space in the church, and trying to bring people to the church, as every listener will know, is not always the easiest thing. But certainly meeting someone at a cafe becomes something, I guess, of the sorts of things you're talking about. In fact, I know that you've written a book called Quench, Cafe Culture Evangelism. And I guess that's probably a good illustration of where you'd meet on a neutral turf, where someone who's a Christian person meeting with a non-Christian person in a cafe. So it sounds very simple, doesn't it?
It is, and that is very simple. I mean, I'm sure you've had cafe culture in Australia for a long time, but in Scotland, we didn't really until two things happened. One, we had a smoking ban, and so a lot of people started smoking and so on outside. And the other was, of course, the development of the whole coffee shop culture. And I discovered that going and holding a meeting in a coffee shop, maybe a 20-minute talk, 40-minute questions, we got a lot of people coming. But also we were talking about people doing Bible studies in coffee shops or just doing one-to-one study. I mean, there are other venues as well. So, for example, I was in Canberra last week and we had a meeting in a cinema. We're basically looking for not just neutral places, but also where people feel that they can come, that they're not being asked to join anything, but they want to talk about the deepest questions of life, which, of course, is what Christianity deals with. And we want to present Christ as the hope and as the answer. So, I mean, you can, and the internet, there are other ways that you can make contact with people. But at the end of the day, Christianity is best communicated human to human.
You mentioned that you go along to the meeting of a legal group, a whole lot of lawyers who meet early in the morning each week. And you were invited just recently to, in fact, be their speaker. Because any group that does meet regularly, they're often looking for new life, new blood, new voices, new concepts, new ideas. And so to invite someone like yourself along, I suppose, was for them a risk. I don't know if you have a legal background at all or what you did speak into their environment. But you were not a part of the legal group, but as a Christian minister, you went to the legal group and you were their guest speaker.
Yeah, I mean, I love going to this group. Last Thursday, I spoke, I took my life in my hand a little bit because I spoke about evidences and used various legal terms and then spoke about the evidence because in Acts chapter 1, Luke talks about how Jesus gave many evidences that he was alive. And a lot of people say, well, the Bible doesn't have evidence. Yes, it does. We don't have blind faith. So I spoke about that and there were a lot of questions. This coming Thursday, I'm actually going to be speaking about witnesses. You know, we know sometimes things happen because we have witnesses to them. We ourselves may not have seen them. And so, again, that's how you suit something to a particular context. So that I'm speaking to lawyers, speaking about evidence and speaking about witness. You know, if I was speaking to another group, I might be using a different thing. It's interesting. I'm speaking to a group of superannuation managers later on this week, and I think we're looking at Jeremiah 30 about God's plans to prosper the city and what does that mean. And, you know, but again, all that I'm doing is seeking to point people to Christ.
And you invite yourself along to these meetings. I know that there'll be listeners thinking right now, well, you know, my pastor is just the most amazing communicator. He ought to be out doing that sort of thing. You know, that's that type of thinking. But how do you get an invite to speak at these sorts of groups? And, you know, people listening to us today, not sure so much whether you're aware, David, in big cities and also smaller country towns. So getting into those groups and having the opportunity to be the speaker, how do you do that?
Well, I certainly don't invite myself because, I don't think I would have the nerve to do that. I get invited and you kind of get known. I mean, one of the ways in terms of your listeners throughout Australia is City Bible Forum are in all the cities. And if people wanted to contact them and say, look, I think my pastor would be a really good speaker at this kind of thing. But another way is for pastors. One of the things that we're aiming to do with Third Space is help train pastors to communicate in the public space. So you may be, I mean, you don't have to be a big city. I mean, my dad was a farm worker and I grew up in the country. And, I always say to people when they say, you've got to go to the big cities first, I always say, well, Jesus was from Nazareth, not from Jerusalem. And I think, you know, that what we should try and do is reach into the spaces wherever they are. So, but I think one of the things that we want to do is try and encourage people to look at where, in Acts 17, Paul spoke in the marketplace, and that's where people in Athens met. So where do the people in your community meet, where they could stop and think and listen and discuss? And that will be in different contexts, in different ways. But one of the things we're trying to do is help train pastors to do that kind of outreach.
Interesting when you talk about meeting with different people and you mentioned lawyers. My mind started to drift to doctors and business managers, even trade unions, people who have a particular qualification. And somehow or other, we tend to think of people like yourself, you know, who've been former pastors of churches. But I'm thinking of ordinary people right across the spectrum of all of those people who are in church who actually have amazing professional qualifications or trades or particular skills in their workplace that may actually create opportunities for them to be a witness, to carry their faith into various gatherings and meetings and opportunities because it's their skill that actually opens the way. How do you describe that way of equipping people to actually use the skill and gift they've already got to carry the gospel?
Yeah, because that's, again, this is a big step that City Bible Forum have taken because they've made me director of this project, which is designed precisely to do that, to help churches and individual Christians and groups. So, I mean, there are groups like Christian medical fellowships and so on. But I would argue every person who's a Christian is a witness in their home, is a witness at their work, through their life, through the 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give an answer or a reason for the hope that you have in you. But I think that Christians need to be trained. Christians need to be encouraged in that. We need to work together as a team. When we think of evangelists, we tend to think of either, you know, big stadium evangelists such as Billy Graham or Franklin Graham, or we think of individual, you know, almost eccentrics who stand on street corners and, you know, accost people. And what I'm suggesting is, I think, a more biblical way is to say that the whole church is to do evangelism. There will be particular people within any church who have a special gift for it, but we're all called to communicate and to live the good news. And I just think that we could do with a bit of help with it. So we have this idea. We have three images that we use. One is of an open door, and I'm a Scot. I'm new here, but I do think that Australian society is actually more open to the gospel just now. There is a hostility amongst some, but there is more openness, more curiosity. The other image we use is of shifting sands. The the culture is moving and changing all the time. There are things you can't say now that would have been normal 5 years ago, and you know, lots of things are happening. And then the other image we use is of living stones, because that is what the church is. We're not dead stones, but we are solid, and we stand on the rock that's Christ, and we are a spiritual building, we are a community, and many people in our culture are looking for that. They're looking for community, they're looking for love, they're looking for relationship. They don't know that it's what Christ provides, but that's what we have to tell them.
It's a message, as you say, people who are outside of the church don't know how valuable this message is.
Visions 2020 with Neil Johnson. A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events.
You might be wondering what Christian leaders talk about, think about, what their initiatives are being planned and what strategies are around. Well, today, some wonderful insight into a new initiative that is about to hit Australia. In fact, it's being launched this Friday. It's called Third Space Ministries. And your opportunity to participate in our conversation today, you might like to have your own say as to what you do to connect to various different contrasting environments, as we might have with the church and as we might have with people who are outside of the church. And where do you find some common space at which those two can interact and at a point that the gospel can be shared? Well, our special guest is David Robertson. He's the director of Third Space Ministries in Sydney. The connection is with City Bible Forum, wonderful organization. And our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. You're welcome to join in, 1-800-316-316. David, let me ask you, because you've come from Scotland, you've arrived on our shores here in Australia, and you're coming from a place in Scotland, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we talk about an increasing secularisation in Australia, maybe a polarisation of where Christians are compared to people who are even hostile or suspicious of the church. But you're coming from Scotland, and it's even more intense from your homeland and the challenges that the church faces there than you're seeing here in Australia. How do you describe the difference?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because Scotland, my country, was known as the land of the people of the book. I mean, we were so, you know, into the Bible, and now the vast majority of Scots don't read the Bible. The vast majority don't go to church. I think we've secularized faster than any nation in history. And it's been rapidly down. Now, I know that some Christians in Australia think that you're pretty far down the line. Actually, you're not. You're about halfway between us and, let's say, the southern U.S., which has got a much stronger Christian element. And I think one of the reasons that happened is we lost our education system. So there was a maxim, John Knox had a maxim, that where you have a church, there you have a school. And we handed over all our schools to the state. They were supposed to be Christian schools, and they were for a few decades. But latterly, they've become secular schools, and they've become anti-Christian, to be honest. It's only the Catholics who've retained their schools. And that's a big difference in Australia, because you have about a third of your schools are at least nominally Christian anyway. And I think that is a significant difference. But it has become very, very hostile. That gives plenty of opportunities to proclaim the gospel as well. We've also become a very, very confused society. You know, the issues that you face here of questions about marriage and sexuality and now transgender, that's one aspect. What kind of society do we want to be? These are really important. I mean, I've just been reading a book by Douglas Murray, who's not a Christian. In fact, he's an atheist, and he's a gay atheist. But sometimes people out with understand better. And he's written this marvelous book called The Madness of Crowds, talking about how Western society is in many aspects going mad. And I do see that happening in Australia, but I also see the church here being somewhat stronger. And I see that you have more of a chance to prevent that happening. And you have a great opportunity for outreach as well. So again, this is one of the reasons that I came, because I saw this opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with this wonderful nation.
Well, it is encouraging, very heartening, that you say Australia is not as far down the track as Scotland is. And perhaps you're reflecting on the whole of the UK there. But
yes.
I do suspect, and listeners might like to contribute, and you can give your impression here, that I do come across Christians from time to time who say that there's sort of an inevitability that we're going to be following in the pathway of those other nations that are more intensely secularized than we are. But I suspect you're going to say that inevitability is not something that you should say is a foregone conclusion, and that it is possible to head that off at the pass. What are your thoughts on perhaps it's pessimism that comes from some that says it's inevitable that we're going to follow down this sort of secular path?
Okay, if there's one thing I would want your listeners who are Christians to get, and I also know that there will be listeners who are not Christians, and I would want them to get this as well. I think the message is simply this. The world is actually far worse than we think it is, the things that are going on and the direction it's heading. However, Christians don't despair, because the gospel is more powerful than we think it is, and it's the gospel that changes things. So we don't engage in culture wars, and we don't say we're going to solve things. You know, if only we had Christian politicians, wouldn't that be wonderful? No. We're talking about the whole culture. We're talking about how people, something is so wrong with all of us as people that we need to be born again. But that's what the gospel does. The gospel turns the world upside down. And in the United Kingdom, what we've seen, people have this idea, some Christians have this idea, and it's a strange idea, that, you know, progressives say the world is getting better all the time, which is not. But sometimes some Christians think, you know, the church peaked about the 16th century and it's been downhill ever since. And especially those of your listeners who are older might remember, say, oh, I remember the 1950s when Billy Graham was here and, you know, a lot of things were really good. But it doesn't go, there's not a trajectory that goes downhill all the time. Christian history goes up and down. So there are moments like before the Wesleyan revival in the United Kingdom. One in every four houses in the United Kingdom was a gin house. Poverty was endemic. Sexual immorality was endemic. And then this revival came. And I think that that's what we need. We need a renewal and a revival of biblical Christianity. But I do think you have a lot of really good... I mean, I wouldn't despair completely about what's going on in this nation. There's a lot of really good things in Australia and a lot of ways that I can see the Lord answering prayer. And it is not inevitable that you go our route. You're heading our direction and you'll be there in 10 years if you continue. But there are straws in the wind, if you like. There's a sound of, you know, a gentle rain, I think. And I think that Australia does not have to go the way that Europe has gone. And my heart, and I plead with the Lord, I'm like Paul with the Jews. You know, he wished that he was cursed for his own people. I plead for the Scots. I plead for the United Kingdom. And my heart and prayer is that the Lord will restore, revive, renew. But meanwhile, I'm here, and that's because I see the enormous potential in Australia, and also the enormous potential in what we call the Pacific Rim. I think the future of the church in the 21st century, it's not going to be Western Europe. I think it's going to be the Pacific Rim. I think it's going to be Asia, Australia, and probably Africa as well.
We're taking calls, 1-800-316-316. David Robertson is our guest. Let's take a call from Luke in Blackall in central Queensland. Hello, Luke. Welcome along.
Yeah, hello, Neil. Hello again. And, I just wanted to share something which I'm thinking about. I think we all need to exercise great spiritual discernment in a time like this.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's talk discernment for a few moments, because discernment, something that grows with maturity, and we might even reflect on a spiritual gift of discernment too. What are your thoughts here, David, about the need for Christians to be discerning of the times that we're in and knowing what to do next?
Yeah. In Chronicles, he talks about the men of Issachar who understood the times. And Jesus warns about those who do not understand the times. So I do think it's really important. One of the things we're trying to do in Third Space is help people understand the shifting sands that we're in. But I think what Luke is talking about is spiritual discernment And to me, that comes from knowing the mind of the Lord, which comes from knowing the Scriptures. I think you need to be very wary of any individual Christian saying, well, I feel that this is right, and I feel that that is wrong, because we're not normally in a position to judge by our feelings. Whereas I think we should always ask, do they speak according to the Word of God? If they don't speak according to the Word, we're not listening. And I actually think, I mean, I use this phrase quite a lot. I say to people, we don't need to make the Bible relevant. It is relevant. The trouble is that we spend a lot of time making it irrelevant. And I think there's nothing happening in our culture which, if you know your Bible, should surprise you.
Okay, thank you so much to Luke from Blackall in Queensland. Our talkback line remains open, 1-800-316-316. Just less than a couple of minutes out from news. Let's come back to this third space. The launch is coming up this Friday. And is it a big sort of red carpet, roll out the red carpet, invite dignitaries? What's going to be happening on Friday, David?
Well, actually, it's a by invite only, but I'm going to issue an invite here to any of your listeners who might want to come. Because it is at 9:30 in Scots Church, Scots Presbyterian Church, which is appropriate for me, at Wynyard. So it's right in the center of town. And, you know, if any of your listeners are interested, they can either contact me or, to be honest, they could just turn up. I'm sure I'd let them in.
David, before we build on things a little further, why don't we take another call? Let's hear from Michael in Ipswich in Queensland. Hello, Michael. Welcome along.
Yeah, good day, everybody. Grateful to listen to me. I was tuning in a bit, and just something crossed my mind. It seems in the discussion that it's still the case that many actually going by their own views rather than sticking to what the Bible says. My point is, it clearly says in the book of Revelation that as it was to Noah's time, in Noah times, we had a similar situation, a really bad world. Nobody wanted to listen to the gospel, and we all know the outcome of it. Now, in today's world, we sort of find ourselves, as far as I can see, in the last book of the Bible. In other words, there's no other Bibles or other books to come. And if we, going by what Jesus said, our goal is quite clear. We need to spread the gospel, rescuing souls, and do it by showing love and lead by example. I mean,
Michael, good thoughts in there. The idea of preaching the gospel in season and out of season, really, if you are going to adjust anything creatively, make sure you keep the integrity of the message. Let's get an insight or two here from David. David, what are your thoughts for Michael from Ipswich?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's we see this pattern. You see it in Noah's day. You see it in Elijah's day. You see it in the time of the apostles, that every one of us could look and say, oh, the world's in a terrible place. But that's why Christ came, and that's why we need to give people the gospel of Christ. And in two ways in particular, we need to, your earlier caller talked about discernment. Number one is we mustn't deviate one iota from what Christ told us. We mustn't. Every time the church has tried to change the gospel, it's sunk. But number two is what Michael is saying, and I completely agree with. There's no point talking the gospel if you don't live it. So by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And I think one of the reasons we communicate the gospel is not out of fear, but out of love, because we see lost people, we see hungry people, we see starving people, and we've got the bread of life to give them. So I agree completely with what your caller says.
Thank you so much for your call, Michael. Our talkback line open, 1-800-316-316. You can leave a note on our Facebook page, facebook.com/visionradio. Interestingly, as we talk about the sort of world we live in here in Australia, and you were reflecting on Scotland being ahead of us, said in 10 years' time, we'll go the way of Scotland unless something happens. There is a certain sense in which perhaps Christian believers not quite as confident in the truth of the gospel as we ought to be, because there's this idea of entertaining the thoughts that those anti-Christian progressives might be bringing to the argument, David. And there's a certain sense in there that people might argue that the anti-Christian progressives are actually into a deconstruction of humanity. And if there's any remedy to that, if there's any antidote to the poison of that, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So somehow or other, we need to be confident in the gospel. What are your thoughts about the way the things are going and the need for being confident in God?
One of the mistakes that we make is buying into the language that our culture says. So when people say they're progressive, they're actually not. They are regressive. They are regressing to a Greco-Roman pagan view of the world. If you look at the similarities between pre-Christian Europe and now post-Christian, you'll see that there's a huge amount of similarities. Now, that might cause Christians to despair and to give up, but don't, because it was in that world that the gospel first came and flourished. And so I think that we need to be confident, not confident in ourselves, not confident in our politics, not confident in our culture, but we need to be confident in Christ and confident in the gospel. And that's my experience. I mean, I've proclaimed the gospel many, many different places. And yes, it can often be very hard. But I know that this is absolutely true. I know that God does not lie. I know that his word does not return void. I know that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And I know that the gospel, you know, Paul in one of the cities was despairing, and God said to him, no, 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 I have many people yet in this city. Now, these were people who were not yet believers, but would become believers as Paul proclaimed the gospel. And I think we need to see that as the same, that it may be a day of small things, but in fact, the gospel is continuing to grow and flourish all over the world. I mean, there are now more Chinese Christians than there are in America. I mean, it's extraordinary what's happened in Africa, going from about 10 million to about 200 plus million. And even, you know, here in Australia, there are areas, there are churches that you see growing and developing, and God is still at work. So I would be very, very confident about the gospel. I wouldn't be confident about myself, but I'd certainly be confident about the gospel.
Well, we can hear that you are a keen student of history, and when you make comments like the gospel is more powerful than we think, and then reflect on the Greco-Roman culture in which the gospel emerged and the church emerged and has influenced the world over this past 2,000 years, and you were reflecting on the wonderful revival under the Wesleys in your home territory, the gospel is more powerful than we think, but somehow or other we get duped into this idea that it's just a message and the power doesn't feel as though it's there. What do you say to encourage Christian believers to test the waters here, that when you share your testimony and you share the elements of the gospel, that actually powerful things are happening in the person's life that is hearing these things?
Yeah. Well, I absolutely believe that God's word is like a fire, as Jeremiah says. I believe that what I'm doing when I'm communicating with people, I'm trying to communicate something of the Bible. I don't necessarily need to cite chapter and verse, but I describe it this way. I do a lot of debating and discussing, and I'm saying what I'm always seeking to do is plant little thought hand grenades in someone's head that the Holy Spirit can later use and apply. So, I mean, you see dramatic things, but often it's just a gradual step-by-step-by-step thing. So I've seen people who've been bitterly hostile, who've written me extraordinary hate mail, and who are very anti. They're like Paul seeking to kill Christians. And I've seen them just gradually or sometimes dramatically come to know Jesus. So what I would say to Christians is, you communicate the word never returns empty, never. There will always be fruit. Now, I think our problem is we try and determine what that fruit will be. So we'll say, well, so-and-so will believe, or this will happen with that people. And we don't know. That's God is sovereign. We're not. We don't know. We can't convert anyone. It's only the Holy Spirit who converts people. But he's promised that he will. As we go out and we sow the seed, then we'll return, you know, as Psalm 126 says, reaping with sheaves of joy.
Let's take another call, 1-800-316-316, to join in our conversation. Let's hear from Genkin in Broome in Western Australia. Hello, Genkin. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well. What are your thoughts?
I'm a pastor of a church in Broome. My query is what I basically think is we are concentrating more on church inside, like more of a population of the church, rather than we have to go out and preach the gospel. We are more worried about how to expand our church and growing more inside the church rather than going outside where God wants us to go out and preach the gospel and add people to church, rather than that we actually sit and worry about more inside the church. What your thoughts on that?
Good thought there, because this idea of focusing on building the maturity in the believers in church, and that'll have its natural flow-on effect. Your thoughts here, David?
Yeah, I think it's not either or, but both and. I think one of the big problems we have at the moment is that a significant number of churches, if not a majority, and I'm not going to speak for the whole of Australia because I don't know, but I know that this is true, that a significant number are concerned about maintaining what they've got. So they're in maintenance mode, not mission mode. And evangelism should be part of the DNA of every church. I think if you grow and develop as a Christian, now your caller is correct, if you go out and you seek to share the gospel, but you're not taking in, you're not being fed God's word, you're going to run dry. You're not going to be able to share. So the two things go together, discipleship and outreach, people becoming Christians and people being discipled. I would never, that's why the big emphasis we're making in Third Space, although we're part of a parachurch organization, the emphasis is on the church. It's the church that's Christ's bride. It's the local church that is the most effective for reaching out. And that's why I would just ask any church, well, are you doing it? Are you reaching out? And, you know, how effective is that being? And let's sit down, let's talk about it, let's see how we can reach out. I went to a church in Dundee in Scotland, which is a very famous church known as the Church of Robert Murray McShane. And when I went there was 7 people. And, you know, it was just a ridiculous number in a building that could see almost 1,000.
Wow.
And we had no option but to reach out. But I would say that you could be in a church of 1,000 in Brisbane or Melbourne or Sydney or Perth or, you know, it doesn't matter how many people you've got in your church. Unless people are converted, within a generation, your church will die as a living church. So we need both. We need the church to grow and develop, and we need the church to reach out. And the church grows and develops by reaching out.
Well, Jenkin is in Broome in WA. Jenkin, what's the name of your church, in case there are listeners in Broome that might think they could visit your church this Sunday? What's the name of your church?
Jesus King of Kings Church.
Fabulous.
Great,
well,
great name.
Great to hear from you, Jenkin. Thank you so much for calling in. 1-800-316-316 to join in our conversation today. Let's hear from Jonathan in WA. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes. As the speaker was talking, you know, especially when you, I will always say Africa, you go there, you see in the society, people afraid the gospel to enter because they know the power of the gospel. But some people in the West, they take for granted and they don't see how powerful the gospel is. So yeah. Even though we are not saving, but the people know that when the gospel enter any community, any society, there's a great change because the gospel is very powerful.
What an amazing sentiment, Jonathan. And this again comes back to our underestimation of the power of the message of the gospel that we carry, David.
Yeah, and Jonathan, you're quite right. We have a lot to learn from our African brothers and sisters as well. And what you're talking about is Acts 17, verse 6, where it's speaking of Paul and the disciples. These are they who have turned the world upside down. You know, and that's what the gospel does. When the gospel comes in the power of the Spirit to any community, it turns the homes, the individuals, and the communities upside down. So, yes, I think there's another old cliche, but I think it's a true one. You have a generation which knows both the word and the power of the Spirit. The next generation knows the word but has lost the power, and the third generation loses both. And that's why we do need constant renewal.
Thank you so much to Jonathan in WA. It reminds me of Jesus sending out the 70, and they went out and were absolutely amazed that the spirits were under the power of Jesus. When they took the gospel, there was all sorts of things happening in the communities, and they were testifying to how God was powerful in that message.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's talk about the opportunities, because if we're discussing the third space, and you've got the launch coming up in Sydney this Friday, and it's perhaps a new concept to a lot of listeners, the idea that you might look for a transitional space to be able to engage with the sorts of questions that people are asking. What sort of opportunities, or even on the contrast to that, what sort of obstacles ought we be looking for if we're looking to have a third space idea in our own churches, David?
Well, I mean, there's a sense in which that's like saying how long is a piece of string, because there's lots of opportunities. But let me just mention some of them. So I'm not doing this on my own. I have a colleague, Steve McAlpine, who is from Perth in Australia, not Perth in Scotland, but he's a tremendous writer and communicator. And he also has been very, very good in helping in terms of education. Or I think of Rob Martin, another colleague that I have working with us in Third Space, who's down in Melbourne, and he does a radio show podcast called Bigger Questions, looking at some of the big questions that people ask. That's another way of doing things. Or I have a colleague here in Sydney called Russ, who does something called Real Dialogue. So what he'll do is he'll go to a cinema, they'll show a film and discuss it, and you know, it's a way of communicating the gospel in that way. So those are some ways you can do it in an event style thing, but there are other ways that a church could have a coffee morning, or there's one church in Sydney that I've gone and done you know, a pub outreach where I've gone and spoken and a men's meeting. Or I think of there's a group of Chinese Presbyterians who are very keen at reaching out beyond just their own community. And again, you look, sport is a way sometimes of doing things. There are tremendous opportunities. There are tremendous threats, because there is an attack on the gospel, and I think there's an attack particularly on Christian education and the Christian view of humanity as male and female. But rather than see these just as threats, we need to see them as an opportunity to teach the Christian hope. You know, so next year we're hoping to do a series of conferences throughout the Australia on the idea of being human, with Christ as the ultimate human, you know, the Son of God who became man for us, but also how we're the new creation. I mean, everyone's in an enormous panic just now about, you know, oh, the world's going to end in 11 years or something. And we're saying, no. We believe that God is in control of all of this, and we believe that he will renew the earth, and we believe he's going to renew us. And I think those are tremendous opportunities as well as threats.
So when we're hearing of these big ethical issues that are being debated, and there's an awful lot of hype around some of those, as you talk about sexuality or climate issues, those sorts of things, these are the questions that people are asking, and there is a need for us to engage in those more deeply. So I imagine that you'd be encouraging leaders to address some of those things from the pulpit, but if it's not being addressed from the pulpit in the church, you can still get some resources and understand where people are, in fact, itching right now, so that you can scratch the right spot. Is that what you're saying? You know, look for the questions, those things that are engaging right now.
Yeah. So another image that we use, I talked about the shifting sands. It's a bit like there's a tide coming in. And what we could do as a church, we could stand there and King Canute-like try and stop the tide, and we can't do that. But my argument is that we can be a bit more like a surfer with the wave, that we see the wave, we understand the wave, and we use the wave to communicate the good news of Jesus, which in itself then turns the tide. So, for example, on the whole issue of sexuality and gender, that's all about identity. It's all about people wanting to belong. It's all about who people say they are or feel that they are. And we're encouraging people to seek their identity in Christ. So we can actually go to the deeper questions. I do think it's important for Christians to understand the issues. I think it's important for us not to get angry or not to have too much fear or not to be complacent. I think we should weep, and I think we should be concerned, but we should always be able to point back to the gospel. And I think that's where what's going on in our society just now is a tremendous opening for the gospel, because basically people are lost. And we can say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I think we are the starving beggars who found where there's bread, and we can tell other starving beggars this is where the bread of life is.
Well, it has been an outstanding conversation over this past hour, and I'll encourage listeners, if you missed the earlier part of our conversation, you'll be able to catch it on a podcast a little later on this afternoon, talking about the third space, a different way of thinking about how you might engage with the culture that we're a part of. And as we've been hearing, sometimes a more aggressive, even hostile, and sometimes certainly sceptical culture when it comes to the message of the gospel. But as we are carriers of the message of the gospel, much more powerful than we might even realize, more powerful than our suspicions might be, that there is powerful transformation change that comes when we engage with the gospel. And engaging with the gospel, much easier and much more beneficial when we're actually talking about where people are at, the sorts of questions that they're asking, the big issues that the nation is facing. Let me just point people to some of the books that David Robertson has written: The Dawkins Letters, Atheists Understand Their World, Magnificent Obsession, Quench, Cafe Culture Evangelism, and another one called Why I Am Not an Atheist. David also has a blog called The We Flee, so theweflee.com. And I did mention that this coming Friday, the official launch of Third Space Ministries in Sydney, it's happening at the Scots Church, 9:30 a.m. You can pre-register, but if you did happen to arrive on the day, David's told us, perhaps you'll get a back seat, but if you pre-register, maybe they'll seat you a little closer to the front. 9:30 this Friday at the Scots Church. Let me say that you should follow through what's happening in your city. For those who are in capital cities, citybibleforum.org is where you can find out some great initiatives, even find some resources on some of the big issues as to how you might be able to get your head around those and have a Christian response, so that when you share the gospel, things will be very powerful. Wonderful to have you along on the program today, David Robertson. I appreciate your insights and really appreciate
you being with
us on 2020. We'll do it another
Thank
day.
You.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.